What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 43 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, The God of Grace. Martin Lloyd-Jones once wrote, "The ultimate test of our spirituality is the measure of our amazement at the grace of God." Our text for today is from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 34. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, the older shall serve the younger." When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak, so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. Genesis 25 summarizes Abraham's death and his descendants. Verses 19 through 34 recap the birth of Isaac's sons, Jacob and Esau, and highlight when Esau sold his birthright to his brother. Thus, these verses can be viewed from the following perspectives: Isaac burying his father, he and Rebekah having twins, and then those twins fighting over birthrights. For a moment, think about this scripture from just Rebekah's perspective. She discovers that the two sons she bears will become the founders of two separate nations, and unlike traditional custom, the secondborn will be given priority over the firstborn. On top of all that occurs in Genesis 25, God is working behind the scenes as the overseer of souls. Kenneth Gangell, and Stephen Bramer highlight God's sovereignty and grace over these events. We learned that Isaac was 40 when the wedding took place, but 60 when the twins were born. Like Abraham, Isaac struggled with the problem of bearing children. But unlike Abraham, he rested in God's promise until the Lord answered his prayer. The Bible emphasizes that the promised line of the Messiah came about only through God's intervention, not by human effort. We will see this again with Rachel in chapter 29 and verse 31. Verse 22 is more than a biological anecdote. It picks up a major literary and theological theme of Genesis, the struggle between brothers. It begins with Cain and Abel in chapter 4, reappears again with Isaac and Ishmael in chapter 21, takes on even greater proportions with Jacob and Esau, and culminates in Joseph's struggle with his 10 brothers in the latter chapters of the book. The writer of the book patiently waits until the end to thematically express the lesson behind these struggles, using the words of Joseph to his brothers. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." That's verse 20 of chapter 50. Out of each of the struggles, God's will was accomplished. The point is not so much that the struggles were necessary for the accomplishment of the will of God, but rather that God's will was accomplished in spite of the conflict. Furthermore, God focuses on the development of entire nations, not just children. The prophecy of verse 23 picks up another theme in Genesis. The older will serve the younger. Again, this began with Cain and Abel, followed through with Ishmael and Isaac, arose here with Esau and Jacob, and culminated with the younger Joseph, Benjamin was born later, standing against all 10 of his brothers. Behind all of this history stands the doctrine of grace. By all human understanding and the culture of the day, the older son would be favored. But just as God set aside Cain, Ishmael, and Esau, he eventually set aside Israel so that the Gentiles might be grafted into the tree of salvation. Only God's sovereign grace provides any reasonable explanation for this. The boys were different from the beginning in appearance, personality, vocation, and spiritual values. We cannot overemphasize the role of God's sovereignty in the events of Genesis. Today's scripture is just another of many examples illustrating that God is always at work behind the scenes to demonstrate His amazing grace. If you didn't know the prophecy in verse 23 and the rest of the story about Jacob fathering 12 sons who would become the 12 tribes of Israel, Esau selling his birthright for some stew would be shocking. Yet, we know that God always makes good on His promise. His grace and oversight in our lives give us assurance that we can trust Him, even in the most outrageous circumstances. Some questions to consider. The news of the reverse order for future blessings for Jacob and Esau must have been difficult for his parents to hear. How should knowing God's prophecy in verse 23 reassure them? What lesson can you learn from today's scripture on trusting God in all circumstances? And finally, in what ways does God's grace strengthen your hope? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.